beginning in the from the beginning of the week on Tezvav and Aleph. But before we begin, let's just backtrack and recap a little bit from your Yudalad Amud Beis. Remeir in the Mishnah said that we learn midivreim from their words. They, on Erev Pesach, you have a heter to burn Trumas Chametz that's tar together with Trumas Chametz that's tummy. So the Gemara wanted to know from the words of who. So the Gemara suggested that maybe it's in the words of Chanina Skanakeyanim, because that which he permitted meat that was tummy with a Vlad HaTumah to be burnt with meat that was tummy with an Avatumah is even with meat that was tummy with a Vlad HaTumah Midrabanan, which Midaraisa is totally tar. And if that's the case, you're burning something that's tar midaraisa together with something that's tar midaraisa, since you have to burn it anyway. So huadin chametz and erev pesach, once it's tar midrabanan, you could burn it with something that's tar midaraisa. On that, says Reish Lakish in the name of Bar Kappara, no. Maybe I'll tell you that Reb Chanina ben Daisa was talking about an avatum of deraisa and a vladatum of deraisa, and you have no raya from Reb Chanina's kana kehanim. If that's the case, what's the midivreim of Reb Meir from Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua? So the Gemara explains which Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua. If it's the Mishnah that says that if you have a barrel of chumah that became suffic tamei, Reb Eliezer says even if it was in an open place, you're mechuyev to put it into a secluded, into a safe place, and if it was uncovered, you have to cover it because you're still mechuyev to watch it. Reb Yeshua says no. If it was in a secluded place, you could put it in an open place, and if it was covered, you could uncover it because you have no more chuyev to watch it. But nonetheless, says the Gemara, you don't see anything from there because maybe you're only allowed to be gerim etumah. Who says you're allowed to be metamed even be yadayim? Rather, says the Gemara, it's the following Mishnah that says if you have a barrel of truma that broke in the upper portion of the press, and in the reservoir at the bottom of the press you have chulin tmeim, so if the truma is going to go in there, it's going to become tamei, and then it's going to mix with the chulin, and the whole mixture is going to be usher to be drunk. So everybody agrees, Rabbi Yezer and Yeshua, that if you could save a revius of the wine in a tar keli, even though it's going to be at the expense of the rest of the wine falling in and messing up the chulin, you're mechuyev to do so. Otherwise, the Rabbi Yezer says you have to let it go down and become tamei memela, and you're not allowed to be metamei yodayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, since it's halach le'ibud, you're allowed to be metamei yodayim and save the truma. So then over here, you're allowed to burn the chulin tameim together with the chulin the chuma tameya together with the chuma tahira, since it's halach leibud anyway. Frankly, what's the lashon of midivreim from their words lashon rabim? It's only from devarav of Rabbi Yeshua. So on that, the Gemara answers, you're right. Midivreim means from that machlekes. We see that at least from Rabbi Yeshua, you could learn. The Gemara says that Rabbi Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Arvua the same shot as Reish Lakish. On that, Rabbi asked him, we have a brayso that Rabbi Yossi says to a mayor, your raya is not a good raya because you can't learn from Chanina Skana Kehanim, because he only said that a lower level of tumah, you could burn it together with a higher level of tumah. And even Rabbi Kiva, he only said that something that's, even if it's not tummy, it's at least possible because it touched a tefuyayim, you could burn it with a tummy. But something that's totally tar that you could burn with a tummy, you don't see from either one. Then the brayso continues that I would agree to you that that if you had a lower level of truma on Erev Pesach that you want to burn with a higher level tamei of truma, you could do so. But a truma that's a suffix, that's tluya, to burn that with tamei truma, how could you do that? Maybe Eliyahu is going to come and say that the suffix one is tar. Then the brayso says that if you have meat of kachim that became pigo, he had a raw mashava, or it was nicer, it was left over. And then you also have meat that's tamei. Beishami says you could burn them all together. Beishami says you could, each one has to be burned separately. Beishami says you could burn it all together. The Gemara soon will explain that machlekes. But bottom line, if Reb Meir is learning from Reb Yeshua, so what's Reb Yossi asking him that it's not daimeter Reb Chanina Skanaka Yanam and Reb Giva? So the Gemara answers that Rabbi Yossi misunderstood originally the words of Reb Meir. He originally thought he was coming from Reb Chanina Skana Kehanim. Then Reb Meir answered back, no, I'm coming from Yeshua. And that Rabbi Yossi said, from Rabbi Yeshua, it's not either you can't compare it to Rabbi Yeshua either, because Rabbi Yeshua was only Matatuya and Tara, not to May and Tara. Frankly, why is it not a good raya from Rabbi Yeshua? According to what we said before, it is a good raya from Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara says over there that you're allowed to be metame the chulin, the truma, before it goes to get mixed into the chulin. That's only to save the chulin because of hafsid chulin. Frankly, over here, you also have hafsid chulin because it's going to cost you more wood if you have to burn each one separately. So on that, the Gemara says, for a large hafsid, like to lose all the wine chashish that they cared for, and they were matzah to be metame the truma. But for a hafsid muad of just extra wood, for that, like chashishu. Then the Gemara brings from Rabbi Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, is only in the sixth hour. But in the seventh hour, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that you could burn the Truma Torah with the Truma Tameya since it's Aser Midaraisa. So on that, the Gemara was Medaik. So it's Mashma that Rabbi Yochanan understood the Mishnah that in the sixth hour, the reason why you could burn it according to Rabbi Meir because it's already Aser Drabanan, and he's learning that, like the original pshat that we said, that Rav Chanina's Kana Kayana was talking about a Tumah Derabanan that's being burned with a Tumah Deraisa, and the same way you could burn a Tumah Derabanan with a Tumah Deraisa, so who had in an Issa Derabanan with a Tumah Deraisa. And that we wanted to bring a raya from the Bryce we quoted before, that we said people necessarily tell me according to Beishami cannot be burned together, but according to Beisel, which we pass on like, you may burn them all together. So we see that once it's also Midaraisa, you could be Metamit. So the Gemara says, no raya from over there, because over there, in addition to the Issa Deraisa, there's also a Tumah Derabanan, like we learned in the Mishnah that later on in our Masechta, that Pigol and Noisar are Metameis Yadayim. But otherwise, maybe just for the Issa alone, you cannot burn them together. Then we wanted to bring a Raya. It says that bread that started becoming moldy, people already will not eat it, but dogs will still eat it. So it's still Metameis Tumas Eichlin with the volume of an egg, and you could burn it, even though it's Tara, together with Truma Tumeya on Pesach. So what do we see? Once it's Aser, you're allowed to be Metameis. So the Mar no Raya over there, since it's not edible anymore, it's already moldy, therefore it's Afra Baum, and that's why you're allowed to be Metamet. The Gemara says, according to this Pshat of Rabbi Yochanan, why was Rabbi Yossi asking from, in the Mishnah, from Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Yezer, if the Raya is not coming from there? So on that the Gemara says, that what he meant to say is like this: your raya from Rabbi Chanina Skankarim is not a raya, and even Rabbi Yeshua, who we find he's mekel, he was only mekel with tluya and tameya, but he was not mekel with tahira and tameya. So the Gemara says, according to this pshat, why is it not a good raya? L'chayr Meir has a good raya from Rabbi Chanina Skankarim, who was talking about a tumah derabanan. So Rabbi Yirmi answers over here: the nature of this vlada tumah was that it was meat that touched liquid that became tamei from a sheretz. So Rav Meir the Shitasi holds that mashkim is only metamei other things mi rabbanan, and therefore we're talking about a tumah derabanan. However, Rav Yosi the Shitasi holds that mashkim is metamei other things mi deraisa, and therefore we're talking about tumah deraisa, and you have no raya from here to that an issa derabanan may be burnt with a tumah deraisa. Like we learned in a braisa, that if you have a suffix tumah by mashkim, so to be, if the suffix is, if the mashkim became tamei or not, that's a suffix deraisa, everybody agrees that's tamei. What about if the suffix is the mashkim tumeim touch something else? So Rav Meir says it's Torah because he holds that that's a suffix derabanan, and the Gemara says Rav Elazar held the same way. Rav Yehuda says that a suffix mashkim to be metame everything, whether it's food, whether it's kelim, is tame. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon say if it's a suffix, if it was metame food, so that's the rice, it's tame. If it's metame kelim, so that's derabanan, then it's tar. So the Gemara asks, does Rav Elazar hold that mashkim at least becomes tameh midaraisa? Don't we learn that Rav Elazar says that mashkim doesn't have tumah whatsoever, and I'll prove it to you, because Yossi ben Yezer Shtreda was made about this grasshopper called Ayo Kamsa, that it's a Torah kosher species of grasshopper, and it was also made on the liquids that you have in the basement for Chaim, where they cut the meat of the karbonos. Those liquids are tar, which means to say that since their tumah is only derabanan, they weren't geyser tumah in the Beis HaMikdash in order not to be metame unnecessarily kachim. So we see that it doesn't even have its own tumah. So the Gemara answers, according to Shmuel, who says that Edus of Yosef ben Yezer, who said their tarah means that they're tarah, that they can't pass off their tumah to something else, but that which they become tumah, that they have, so it's very good, because they could at least become tumah. But according to Rav, who says that they're totally tarah, not only they don't pass off tumah, but they don't even become tumah, so what are you going to say? So the Gemara originally wants to answer that which we said, that Rabbi Elazar says like Rav Meir, we meant in one regard, the fact that a suffix tumah to be metameh is tar. But he doesn't hold like him in the other regard, that a suffix to become tameh is a suffix derabanan, because he holds that even that is a suffix derabanan. On that, the Gemara asks, first of all, it says kidvarov, like his words, which is mashal lashon rabim, is mashal both halves, and also from the fact that we say v'chein, that he similarly, so too, Rabbi Elazar holds, is mashal the same opinion, so the Gemara ends off with a kasha. Going back to the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, Rav says the mashke beis mitzvah chayu are totally tar. because he holds that mashkim, even to become tamei, is only drabanan, and therefore they were only gozer in regular mashkim, not in the mashkim of the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel says that it's tar from being metame other things, but a tumas atzman, the fact that they become tame, that they have, and the reason is because he also mashkim becomes tame midaraisa, so that Chazal couldn't take away. That which is metame other things, that's the rabbanon, so that they weren't gozer in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya, a kasha on Shmuel, from that which we say in the pasuk, "Abasa asher yigah b'chol tameh," any meat of kachin that touches something that's tameh, lo yeyachol. So according, it may not be eaten; rather, it has to be burnt. So according to you, that mashka at least could become tameh. It has to masatzman. So meat of kachin that touches it should have to become tameh. So even if you're going to tell me that mashka is not metame midaraisa chulin, but at least kachin it has to be metame, and our mishnah was talking about kachin. So the Gemara answers, no, this rule of the pasuk is not across the board. Because we know that a Ravi B'Kaidish, the fourth level of Tumah by Kaidish, is Tameh, but it doesn't pass it off. So to Mashke, maybe I'll say that it's Tameh, but it doesn't pass it off. And that the Gemara says, there's a major difference. Because over there, the Torah never labeled it as Tameh. The only way that we know that a Ravi is Tameh is through a Kal V'Chomer. Whereas over here, it's coming from the pasuk. The pasuk says, Yitma, that it is Tameh. The Torah labeled it as Tameh. If that's the case, it's included in this pasuk that any meat of Kachem that touches something that's labeled as Tameh has to become Tameh. So why, according to Shmuel, is it not Tameh? And the Gemara ends off with Akasha. Then we wanted to bring another Raya. The pasuk says, with regard to Tumah Shvatim, it says, V'chol Mashke Asher Yishasa V'chol Kli. Any liquid that's drunk in a Keli, Yitma becomes Tameh. So according to Rav, that doesn't become Tamei Deraisa, how is he going to explain this pasuk? So the Gemara says, when it says Yitma, it doesn't mean it becomes Tamei, but rather it means it's Machshir other things to be capable of becoming Tamei. So the Gemara says, don't we have a different pasuk that discusses Hechshir? So the Gemara says, we need two pasukim. One is that liquid that's already polished, that's already detached from the ground, is Machshir, and one that Mashke, that's Mechuber, that's still in its source, in its place in the ground, is Machshir, and you need both. Because if it tells us Tolosh is Machshir, because maybe once you detach it, you drew it for a reason, so you were Machshir, but that's why it could be Machshir. But Kol Zman, it's Mechuber, it's attached to the ground, we weren't Machshir of it, maybe it's not Machshir. And the opposite, if it only says Mechuber, I would think, since it's in its natural source, it's more chashav, and that's why it's machshir. But once you're toilish it, maybe it's not machshir, that's why we need both. Then we bring another raya. The pasuk says, Ach mainu bar mikvah maim yatar. The Torah tells us that a mikvah is not makabel tumah. So from the fact that the Torah says a mikvah is not makabel tumah, that implies that other water is makabel tumah. So the Gemara says, no, when the pasuk says it's tar, it doesn't mean to say it's not makabel tumah, but rather it's metar other things. Then we ask, on that which we said before, that mashkim tlushim, that mashke, water that's detached from the ground, is machshir. Didn't Rabbi Yosef or Chanina say that the mashke in the Beis HaMikvachayim of the where they cut the meat in the Beis HaMikdash, not only is it tar, like we said before, but it's not even machshir. Now, if it's machshir midaraisa, how can Chazal take that away? So the Gemara said that which Rabbi Yosef or Chanina was referring to was the blood of the karbonis, and that's for a different reason, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yechon that the blood of karbonis is not machshir, because the Torah says, with regard to dam, ala oris tishpachenu kamayim, that dam is compared to water, that you could spill it on the floor and waste it. So we dash in dafka blood that could be spilled freely on the floor is compared to water that is considered a mashkir to be mashir. However, dam of karbonis, which has to be caught to do zrika, you can't spill it freely on the floor, that dam is not mashir. On that, the Gemara asks, what about the dam tamsis, which means the blood that comes out b'shas tashkita, that's not the lifeblood, but it's squeezed out beforehand, that it's, which is not kosher for Zerika, that is Nishbach Kamayim, it could be spilled freely, so why is that one not Machshir? So the Gemara says, don't ask him Dama Tamsis, because even by Chulin it's not Machshir, because since the Pasuk says, Ki Adamu HaNefesh, so we learn from there that only Dam Shanefesh Yosef, but the lifeblood of an animal, that's considered a Mashke, but Dama Tamsis, which is Ein HaNefesh Yosef, but is never considered a Mashke. The Gemara brings another Raya. It says that Dam of Karbonis that became Tameh, and nonetheless he did his Riko. So if it was B'Shoigig, so the Tzitz makes it Meratz and makes the carbon accepted. However, B'Mezeh, it's Leihurtzah. So we see that Dam has Tumah. So the Gemara answers, this price is Midrabanan, and it's not like Rabbi Yosef ben Yehazar Shredu, who says that they weren't Gezer or Tumah Drabanan on Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash. He holds, this Tana obviously holds that they were. Another Raya, it says, Mishra, what is the Tzitz Meratzah? On either the blood of a carbon, the meat of a carbon, or the chet of a carbon that became tummy, whether it was b'shege, whether it was mezeh, whether it was b'ainis, whether it was b'ratzin, whether it's a carbon yachid or a carbon seber. So again, we see that Dam could become Tomei, Akash and Rav. So the Gemara has the same terrors. This is going like the Midir Rabbanon and not like Rabbi Yossi ben Yezer Shtreida. Then another brisa, the pasuk says with regard to the tzitz, the nasa aron es avoyna kadoshim, that this tzitz lifts off and removes the aveira of a kachim. And the brisa explains which soul does it take off. It cannot be the Isser of Chutzlum Kaimai, because on that the pasuk says Le'iratza. It can't be the Isser of Chutzlum Mani, because on that the Torah says Le'ichoshiv. Must be it only removes the Isser of Tumah, and the reason why is Tumah is more lenient, because it's Chutzlum Eklala. There is an exception to the rule, because we find that sometimes Tumah is Mutal, for example, Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. So again, what is the tzitz being miratzah for over here? Isn't it the blood of the carbon? So we see that other without which tzitz, the blood could become tummy. So the Gemara says, no, maybe it's talking about the kmitza of the flour of a carbon mikkel, which is food, and that could become tummy. Then we bring a raya from the Navi Chagi, who was testing the Kayanim in the beginning of the second base of Mikdash, and he asked him, if someone touches with the sheretz to lechem, to bread, and then to a nazid, which is a cooked dish, and then to wine, and then to oil, will it be Tamei? And the Kehanim answered no. And on that, Rav said the Kehanim were mistaken. But if Mashk is not Metamei Midaraisa and doesn't even become Tamei Midaraisa, what was their mistake? So says the Gemara, this Kash is a Kash on Rav. Rav said before that which they were in Geyser on Mashke Ves Mitzvachayah Midarabanon, that's only Mitzvachayah, the ones from the Mizbeach, from the meat, which is the blood and the water. But other things that were mitbachaya, that were brought on the Mizbeach, for example, wine and oil, that would be at least Tamei Midrabanan, and Chagi was asking him from Tumas Derabanan. So we go back to that Rav said that the Kehana made a mistake, and the reason is because we asked them about a Revi B'Kodesh, and a Revi B'Kodesh Ataka Tamei, and they wrong, mistakenly answered that it's Tar. However, Shmuel says they did not make a mistake, because according to Shmuel, Chagai asked them about a Chamishi B'Kodesh, and a Chamishi is Taka Tar, and they correctly answered that it's Tar. So we said, where do we see a Chamishi in the Pasuk? So the Gemara answers, because it doesn't say V'Noga Knaf, like that the knaf itself, the sheretz itself, touched this whole chain. Rather, it says bichnaf, something that touched the sheretz touched this chain. So there's one other step in between. There's something that touched the sheretz, and then it is chain of four, so that thing is a rishon, the lechem is already a sheni, and so on, until the shemen would end up being a chamishi. Then we bring the next question that Chagai asked them. He said, what happens instead of a sheretz if it was a tmei nefesh, it was something that became tummy from a mace that touched these things? Would it be tummy or not? And they answered, yes, it would be tummy. So according to Shmuel, we could explain that the same way that they answered correctly the first question, they answered correctly this question, because the first question was about a ravi and a chamishi, which correctly they answered tar. And now, this one is about a chamishi, which about a ravi, which is taka tummy. But according to Rav, that they were both about a Revi, why did they get the first question wrong and this question right? So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Either because they knew that Tumas Mace goes up to Revi, but they thought that maybe Tumas Shrotzim does not go up to Revi. Or Ravina answers that over here the question wasn't about a Revi, but rather it was about a Shlishi. Because we're talking about not that something that became tummy from a mace, but the mace itself. So the mace itself was metame, the first thing, not to be a reasonable tumma, rather to be an av, and everything in the chain is one step higher. So that was a shlishi, and that they knew. Then the Gemara continues that Chagai said that if this is the way that the Kehanim were, so then tamehu. So Bishlam, according to Rav, that they made a mistake, that's why they didn't know the halachas of tumma tahara, that's why what they do is tummy. But according to Shmuel, that they didn't make any mistakes, so what was Chagai saying? So the Gemara says he wasn't saying a statement, he was saying it belashon tamia. Are you going to say everything's tamei? It shouldn't be tamei. They know what they're talking about. But the Gemara says that can't be, because the lashon of the pasuk is v'chein kol ma'aseh yadayim, which sounds like and so, which means that he wasn't questioning, he was stating. So rather, says the Gemara, that you're right, not because they didn't know the halachas of tumah tahara, but rather since they were eventually going to do Averis, so therefore, even though it was technically Torah, the Torah considered it, that said Hashem is not going to accept it, as if it was Tameh. That which we mentioned before, that Mashke Beis Mitbachaya, so Rav was Geiris Mitbachaya, that it's the base at the Bochim, it's limited to water and blood. However, Levi was Geiris Mitbachaya, anything that has connected to the Mizbeach, which includes also wine and oil. So the Gemara says, according to Levi, that includes wine and oil. So Bishlam, if he holds like Shmuel, who says that they were only took off the fact that it's mitame other things, but it itself could be mekabel tuma. So then you could explain the second question of Chagai, not that it was a chain that we understood until now, but at least that the mace touched directly each one, and at least tumas atzman they have. But if he held like Rav that even they don't even become tame, so how can you explain the pesukim? Forget about conveying tuma; they don't even become tame. So the Gemara says, you're right. Shmuel, ladies, our Karkoch is going to have to hold like Shmuel. Shmuel himself, who explained that it was a chain, and the reason why it was Torah is only because it was a Hamishi, Mashma, had it been a Ravi, it would be Tameh. So Bishlama, if he holds like Rav, that this halacha is only by blood and water, so I understand. Over here, the wine could have been Metameh the oil, even though it's a chain. Masha Enkin, if he holds like Levi, that it was including wine and oil, so how could the wine be Metameh the oil? So how could, even if it was a Revi, why would it be Tamei? So the Mara says, Anachanami, Shmuel has to hold like Rav, that it was limited to water and blood. Then the Mara says, we have a Brisa that says like Rav, and we have another Brisa that says like Levi. What's the Brisa that says like Levi? The Brisa that says like Levi is because the Brisa says the blood, the wine, oil, or water, any liquids that are used for the Mizbeach, if they became Tamei inside the Azara, and then you took them outside, they remain tahar. The opposite, if they became tamei outside, even though you brought it in afterwards, since they became tamei outside, they remain tamei. So, parenthetically, the Gemara asks, on this, didn't Rabbi Shua ben Levi say that mashkeves and mitzvachaya are only tahar b'mekayimon? So the Gemara understands that as of now, that means as long as they remain b'mekayimon, but if you take it outside, they become tamei. So on that, the Gemara says, no, that's not what he means, but rather, when he said b'mekayimon, he means shenitmu b'mekayimon. That they're only tar if they became tummy in the azar. But if they became tummy outside, even though you brought them in, they would be tummy, they didn't remove the tumah from that. What's the brisa that's like Rav? Because we have a brisa that says blood and water, the mashkim of the base mitzvachayim, where they cut the meat of the karbanos, that became tummy. So whether the liquid was in a keli or whether it was in the ground, either way, it's tar. On that, Reb Shimon says, no, if it's in a keli, it's taka tame, because he holds that mashkim is tame derais, like we saw before, so the Chazal couldn't remove that, but if it was in the ground, it's tar. Then the Gemara brings the opinion of Reb Papa, that Reb Papa says, even according to the Manda Omar, that too much mashkim is derais, and nonetheless, mashkim is mizvachai could be tar, because it's a halacha mech misina, the Torah removed the tumah, so the Torah could remove the tumah deraisa. On that, the Gemara has two kashas. First of all, that which we quoted before, the Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a rai that mashkim is not coming with deraisa, because Yosef and Yehuda was made, that mashkim is mizvachai is tar. If it's a halacha mech misina, what's your rai from there? Maybe it's taka tumah deraisa, and afa became the halacha mech misina removed it. A second kasha is the Reb Shimon that we just quoted before. Reb Shimon holds, like we said earlier, that mashke is metame midaraisa, at least oichlin. And over here, he's mechalik between mashke that's in a keli and mashke that's in the ground. So bishlama, if they could only remove a tumah derabanan, not a tumah deraisa, I understand. Because mashke that's in a keli, which is tumah deraisa, they couldn't remove. Mashke in a keli, or mashke in the ground, which is tumah deraisa, that they could remove. But if it's a halakha l'mashe misinai, so then what's the difference? So it's a kasha on Reb Papa. But then the Gemara brings Reb Papa to explain this Reb Shimon, who differentiates between if it's in the ground or if it's in a keli, because when it's in the ground, it's that which we said it's tar, that's only, first of all, that applies to water and not to any other liquid, not to dam. And second of all, even the water is only if there's a revius and not less. And the reason is, because once it's a revius of water in the ground, midaraisa is considered a mikvah, because midaraisa, you could title small kalim like needles and spinning forks in there. Once it's a mikvah, it's not mekabel tumah. That which we said before, Reb Yehuda says that a suffix mashka to be metame other things, even for kalim is tame, must be that Reb Yehuda holds that it can be metame kalim midaraisa. So we asked that we have a Mishnah that says kalim that have an inside and an outside, like pillows and cushions, or different types of sacks, so if the inside, which is the main part, became tame, the entire thing is tame. However, if the back became tame, only the back is tame, not the inside. And that Reb Yehuda explains, that's only true when it became tame from mashkim, from liquid. But if it came tame from a sheretz, then the whole thing is tame. Now, if tumas mashkim is deraisa, so why is that any different than becoming tame from a sheretz? Must be, it's only the rabbanon. And therefore, we could say on a tumas rabbanon, it will only be tame the back and not the inside. On that, the Gemara answers, you're right. From here, we see that Reb Yehuda retracted, and Reb Yehuda taka holds that mashkim is not metame kelim deraisa. Ravina answers, no, really I could tell you who he wasn't chayzer. And over here, this Mishnah is talking about liquids that became tamei from Yadayim, which is the Tumah Derabanan. But Enechanami, liquids that became tamei from a Sheretz, is Taka Midaraisa. Says the Gemara, according to Ravina's Pshat, then why did Rav Yehuda have to differentiate between if the Keli became tamei from liquid to if it became tamei from a Sheretz? Why don't you differentiate within liquids itself between liquid that became tamei from Yadayim and liquid that became tamei from a Sheretz? Must be that the Iker Teretz is like the first Teretz that Rav Yehuda retracted from that which Mashkei can be tamei Keli. Now the Gemara has a Shiloh. Now that we said he retracted, how far back did he retract? Was he only Chayzer that it can't be mitamei Keli Midaraisa? Or was he Chayzer all the way to the opinion of a mayor that even it cannot be mitamei Oichlem Midaraisa? So we wanted to bring a Raya that you have a cow that drank the water of a Paraduma, which is mitamei, and now you're shechted the cow, so the cow is tummy. On that, Rav Yehuda says, no, the water, mechatas became bottle in the stomach of the cow. But if he holds that all mashkim is mitame midaraisa, so enechanami is no longer mechatas, and it's not a strict tumma, nava tumma, but at least let it be a tumma sa'ichlin, and let the mashkim be at least a rishon to be mitame the meat to become a sheni. Must be that Rav Yehuda retracted that it cannot be mitami even oichlin midaraisa, and only midarabanan, since it's not common, they weren't goyzer in such a case. On that, the Gemara says, no, enechanami, that which we say, Batumeya means it's bottled from the Tumah Chamur from being an Avatumah, but Enechanami a light Tumah Tumah Kalot to be a regional Tumah Takahes. If that's the case, when the Tanakama who says it's not bottled is Mashma that it has even a Tumah Chamur. But how could it be? From the fact that it says its meat is Tumah, it's Mashma, it's only Mitame meat, because meat, the food, could become a shame of the Tumah. But Adam and Kalim, which could only become Tumah from an Avatumah, would not be Tumah. So the Gemara says, you're right, there's no two opinions over here, it's all one shita and it's Rav Yehuda. The Reisha says that the meat is tummy. On that chasur and masa, there's a piece missing, and you have to say, b'med devar memur for a tumah kala. But for a tumah chamur, no, because Rav Yehuda said it's bottle in the stomach of the cow. Rav Ashi says a new teretz. Really, you could say that when Rav Yehuda said it's bottle, it means it's totally tar. I mashke is metame other things midarais. The teretz is over here. The mashke is spoiled; it's smelly already, and therefore lost its status of a mashke by being inside the stomach of a cow. Then the Gemara goes through that which Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon says that mashke is metame oichle midarais. Says Rav Avrahan in the name of Reish Lakish. Where did Rav Yehuda get this from? Because he learns like his Rebbe Rav Akiva, who says that the yitma of the pasuk, with regard to Tumah Shratzim, since it's written Yitma, you could read it Yitameh, to say that not only does it become Tameh, but it even passes on Tumah to other things. Like Rabbi Kiva said, V'chokli cheres asher yivo mehem atoichoi, so it says Mikol ha'ichol asher ye'ochol, then the pasuk says Yitma. So he says, not only does it become Tameh, but it's Yitameh, it's Mitameh other things, which means to say that a sheni could make a shlishi in Chulin. So similarly, Rabbi Yosi Darshins, it says v'chol mashkash yishtasu v'chokli, any liquid that is drunk in a keli, like we quoted before, yitma, not only does it become tamei, but rather yitamei, it could be mitamei other things, that the liquid can now in turn be mitamei food. Says the Gemara, how do you know it's metame food? Maybe it means it's metame other liquids. So the Gemara says, that can't be. Why not? So the Gemara says, two terutzim. Either says Rapapa, like we said before, that Tumakala, one thing cannot be metama or a similar item, only an oichel can be metama mashko or vice versa, but an oichel cannot be metama an oichel, so it has to be a liquid over here. Or, and Ravina says, and who did a mashki could only be metama an oichel. Ravina says, even without that, you can't say that the pasuk means to say that the mashke is metame or another liquid, because if that's the case, then why does the Torah have to say yitma twice? Mikola oichol asher yochol yitma, and then kol mashke asher yisosu b'chol kli yitma. If the oichol is metame mashkim and the mashkim metame mashkim, they're both metame themselves. So why don't you put them together and say one yitma at the end? From the fact that it says two yitmas, it's mashkim because each one is metame a different thing. The oichol is metame mashke and the mashke is metame oichol. Frag the Gemara, how do you know? Fine, so the mashke is not metame mashke, but how do you know it means that it's metame oichel? Maybe it means it's metame keli. So the Gemara says that you have a kal v'chomer. The kli, which was metame the mashke originally, cannot be metame another keli, so the mashke that became tummy from the kli for sure cannot have the power to be metame keli. Says the Gemara, so maybe that's only a mashke that's a sheni that became tummy from the kli, that cannot be metamakli. But a mashka that became tummy directly from the sheretz, maybe that could be metamakli. So on that, the Gemara answers, how do you know bichlal that mashke could be tummy from a sheretz. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. You know, from a kal v'chomer. If the kli that became tummy from a sheretz can be metame mashke, for sure the sheretz itself could be metame mashke. If that's the case, as the Gemara, so we say dayoy that the thing that's learned from the kal v'chomer can't be more chomer than the source. So just like the mashke that became tummy from the kli cannot be metame kalim, so to the mashke that became tummy from the sheretz cannot be metame kalim. What about Rabbi Kiva's yitma of the beginning of the pasuk that the oichel becomes tame and is metame other things? So how does he darshan that? So we say that kala oichel asher yeochel, any food that's edible asher yavei alav mayim that became mukshir first yitma becomes tame, and not only yitma but yitame, it could be metame other things, which is mashke. Says the Baisa, how do you know that it's mashke? Maybe it's metame kalim. So on that, we say a kal v'chomer. Mashke, which has the ability to be metame food, cannot be metame kelim. So food which cannot be metame food, for sure cannot be metame kelim. Must be that which you say it's metame, it means it's metame liquids. Why could it be metame liquids? Because liquids anyway are susceptible to being mekabel tumma. Frank the Gemara, why do you need that reason that they're susceptible to being mekabel tumma? Anyway, what else could it possibly mean? The oichel can't be metame oichel, and it can't be metame keli, so by process of elimination, all that it could be metame is liquids. So the Gemara explains, the reason why you need that is because maybe you'll tell me that ad the rabbah, I have a pirch on the kalva chomer, maybe oichelin are more chomer than mashkim, because oichel is metame mashkim, whereas mashke is not metame mashkim. So on that, the Braisa answer that no. Mashke, the fact that mashke becomes tame from oichel is not because of chomer and oichel, but rather, it's because mashke is susceptible to be come tummy. In what way is it susceptible to become tummy? Because food, in order to become tummy, needs a heksher, whereas liquids do not need a heksher. Then, from the fact that it says yitma, and not beferish yitame, that tells us that it can't be metame everything, which means to say a similar thing, the food to a food, or a liquid to a liquid, cannot be metame. So the Gemara says, why do we need this drasha? Didn't we already have the drasha of tame hu, which tells us who tame, it itself is tame, but it can't make a similar item tame? So the Gemara says, one is for liquids that come from a sheretz, and one is from liquids that became tamei from a kli. And you need both, because if it would tell us that liquids that became tamei from a kli cannot be metame mashke, or similar item, that's because it's not so chomer, because it's already a sheni. But the one that became directly tamei from the sheretz, which is more chomer, maybe it couldn't be metame mashke, or kamash melon. So says the Gemara, just say the one that became tamei from a sheretz cannot be metame mashke, and then you'll know, kolshke, and the one that became tamei from a kli cannot be metame mashke. So the Gemara says anachanami, but sometimes we find that something that could have been learned from a kal v'chomer, nonetheless, the Torah bothered itself to write it. On that, the Gemara says, Ravina asked Ravashi, didn't Rava say that Rabbi Yossi, who learns kal v'chomer that we're about to quote in a moment, cannot hold of Rabbi Kiva's drush of yitma yitame, and Rabbi Kiva, who dashes yitma yitame, cannot hold of Rabbi Yossi's kal v'chomer? So how can we say that Rabbi Yossi is going in the sheet of Rabbi Kiva? So we said anachanami, that which Rabbi Yossi said, that mashke is metame midaraisa, he said it according to Rabbi Kiva, this is what would come out, but according to Rabbi Yossi's personal shita anachanami, it will not be metame. Then the Gemara comes to explain, that which we say that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Rabbi Kiva is as follows, because Rabbi Yossi says, it's a mission in Saita, how do I know that by kachim it goes up to a ravi, betuma? From a kal v'chomer, mechusar kippurim, someone who already went to the mikvah, had a sunset, so he's no longer a tfuyayim, he just has to still bring his karbonis. He's already allowed to eat chuma, nonetheless he's also for kachim, so a shlishi, which is also for chuma, for sure should make a ravi b'kodesh. Then the Mishnah continues, a shlishi by kodesh, you don't need a kal v'chomer, because that we learned from the pasuk. The pasuk we quoted before, v'abasar ashi yiga b'chol tamei, any meat of kachim that touches anything that's labeled as tamei, lo yachol, may not be eaten. Since a sheni is labeled as tamei in the Torah, so it's included in this pasuk, and it says that the kachim may not be eaten. That means the kodesh that becomes a shlishi is aser. A ravi is learned from the kal v'chomer that we said. But the opposite, how do we know that Rabbi Kiva... So now to explain. So if he held, like Rabbi Kiva, udash yitma yitame, so then even chulin comes to a shlishi, so chuma, which is a step above chulin, should already come to a ravi. And if that's the case... So our kal v'chomer that says kachim is a step above chuma should learn even a chamishi. From the fact that he only learned a ravi for chuma, for kachim, must be he does not hold of Rabbi Kiva's yitma yitame. But the opposite, how do you know that Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi? So on that the Gemara wanted to answer because we never find any brisa that says there's such a thing as a ravi, but chuma, and a chamishi b'kodesh. and that we should be able to ascribe to Rabbi Akiva. It must be that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of these Kal V'chomers, otherwise we should find it. And that the Gemara says, just because we don't find anything, is that a raya? We don't have a raya that he said b'feirush that you don't have such a thing. So Rav Ashi went to search, or some say Rav Kahana went to search, and they found the Mishnah in Chagiga. The Mishnah says, when it's listing the different chumras that kachim has, that with regard to kachim, all food that's in the same kli, even though they're not touching each other, the keli, the vessel, makes it as if they're one, and if the tumah touches part of it, all the food is tummy. Another chumra is that kachim goes up to a vi, and chuma only goes up to a shlishi. Now, Rav Chiya bar Abba explained in the name of Yerichanan that this halacha that a kli is mitzarev comes from the Eidus of Akiva, because we have a mission there. Rabbi Akiva says that flour of karbonis or k'tiris, or the levain, the frankincense that they use on menachos, or coals of the mizbeach that are in a keli, and the tefil yom touches some of them, the entire thing is puzzle. So we see that this halacha of tzir of kli comes from Rabbi Akiva. And nonetheless, so this mission in Chagiga must be Rabbi Akiva. And nonetheless, it says that kachim only goes up to Ravi and not a Hamishi, and Chum only goes up to Shlishi and not a Ravi. Must be that he doesn't hold of the Kal V'chomers of Rabbi Yossi. Then the Gemara says, from the fact that Rabbi Akiva learnt Tzir of Kli by things that are not Metame Midaraisa, like Teres, Levain, and Gecholim, must be that this Din of Tzir of Kli is the Rabbanan. That argues on Rav Chanan, who says that Tzir of Kli is the Raisa, because he learns from the Psukim of the Hakravas Hanasim, that it says, Hakaf Achas Asorazov Melea Keteris, that the actual word Achas is telling us that all the Keteris that's in the Kaf is considered one, is considered as if it's attached, which means that Tzir of Kli is the Raisa. Then the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that says that if you find a needle in the meat of a carbon that was shechted, so the knife and the hands of the Kayan are tar, whereas the meat of the carbon is tame. If it's found in the parish, in the excrement, in the waste products of the animal, so then everything is tar. On that, Rabbi Akiva commented that from here we see a schus for us that they weren't gozer tumas yadayim in the mikdash. So the Gemara wants to know, why is he only pointing out that they weren't gozer tumas yadayim in the mikdash? Why didn't he say that they weren't mitami tumas kelim in the mikdash as well? Because that's why the knife is tar. So the Gemara says that the tumas yadayim was made chronologically before the tumah of kelim. And this mission was set in between. So at that point in time, they weren't gozer even on Chulin Kalim yet, and therefore, you can't point out that they weren't gozer in the base of Mikdash. The Kalim shouldn't have been Tami regardless. On that, the Gemara asked, that can't be, because they were both gezeres, the Tumah of Yadayim, and the fact that a Kalim could be Tami Midrabban and Hashani LaTumah, they were both made on the same day, on the day that they were gozer the Yud Ches Davar in the first parak of Shabbos. So rather, says the Gemara, the reason why he didn't say anything about the knife is because the knife, even if it was chulin, wouldn't become tame. Because that which we know, a keli midrabanan could become a sheni, that's only from liquids. But over here there was no liquids. So what did it touch? If it touched the kli itself, the needle itself, a keli cannot be mitame keli midrabanan. And if it touched the meat again, the meat, which is a nichol cannot become mitame kli midrabanan. And that's why there was no chiddush that the knife is not tame. Then the Gemara wanted to know, what's the status of this needle that we're saying it's mitame debasar? So, it's a stam needle, and because it's a stam needle, there's a gzera of kelim and amtsayim, that any kelim that's found, which we don't know its status, we have to assume that it's tame. But didn't we say that Rebbe Lozar and Rebbe Yosef Rechanina once said that they weren't going to the gzera of rukin amtsayim, that if you find saliva on the street of Yerushalayim, that even though normally they were going to tumah in Yerushalayim, they weren't going to tumah, and the other one said they weren't going to the gzera of kelim and amtsayim in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara gives two terutzim. The Rebbe answers in the name of Rav, we're talking about a person lost a needle that he knows touched the Tamei Mace, and now he recognizes that needle, so he knows that it was Tamei. It's not a Stam Keli. It's not Keli and Amsoim. The second terutzim the Gemara says that we're talking about the cow was muzzled the entire time it was in Yerushalayim. So that needle must have came into the cow from before it was in Yerushalayim. So that's Keli and Amsoim out of Yerushalayim. Therefore, midrabanan, they were geyser misafik that it's tame. So the Gemara says that which Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef and Chanina said that they weren't geyser on rukim hanim tzayin in Yerushalayim. What's their chiddush? It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says all the rukim, all the saliva that's found in Yerushalayim is tar, besides from the shuk ha'oyim from the upper market of Yerushalayim, because over there that's where all the tameim used to hang out. So what's your chiddush? We know it from the Mishnah. So on that, the Gemara says that what they were adding is, even though you know that a zav, a tame, walked by this area, nonetheless, they still weren't gozer on a piece of roik, a piece of saliva that was found there. Then the Gemara further asks, what about kelim and slime? That's also a Mishnah, because the Mishnah says kelim that were found in Yerushalayim on the way into the mikveh, obviously, if they were going to the mikveh, they're tame. So you could be medak from there only because they're on the way into the mikveh. That's why they're tame. But otherwise, stam kelim Yerushalayim atar. So the Gemara says, no, you don't have a deed from that, because the Seifa says if they were found on the way out of the mikveh, they're tar. So from there you can be daikdavka, because they were the way out of the mikveh, so obviously they were tivled them already, that's why they're tar, but the stam kelim are tummy. So you have no rai either way, you have a contradictory diukim, and that's good for why you need them to say that the ikur is the ratio, that only on the way into the mikveh is tummy, but stam kelim Yerushalayim are tar. That which the Seifa said on the way out is tar, it wasn't coming to say lafuki stam kelim, but rather lafuki, the alleyway that leads in and out of the mikveh. So over there with takabi tummy, because if you took it into that alleyway to go to the mikveh, obviously it was tummy at one point in time. Now you don't know if it was on the way in or on the way out, so therefore Chazaka says it's still tummy until you know otherwise. Then the Gemara asks, according to Rav, who says that we're talking about a needle that touched a tamei mei, since, like we explained last week, there's a halacha called cherev arei kuchalo, so the needle itself would be an avatuma. An avatuma could be metamei deraisa or the mekelim. So why are the hands, the person, and the knife that may have touched the needle tar? We're talking about a tuma deraisa over here. So Rav Ashi says because the azar is a rishus rabin. And so we know the halacha is savik tumah b'rishus harabim is tar. So you have a savik and a chanam. If it were a vaday touched, it would be tummy. But since it's only a savik if it touched, we say it's tar. So the Gemara is medayik from the fact that we say it's a savik tumah in b'rishus harabim. It's mashu that had it been a b'rishus yachid, you would be metamit. But one second over here, the knife is aimed by das lishel. You can't ask. Now we know the rule is savik tumah b'rishus harabim b'rishus yachid is tummy is only by something like a person that's yesh b'das lishel. But an inanimate object like a knife, even b'rishus yachid, since it's aimed by das lishel, you can't ask it, is tar. So the Gemara says, since the person is handling the knife, so that's called savik tumah haba bidei adam. The savik was created by a person, and that Rabbi Yochanan says has the status of das lishel, whether the person was handling the tar item that may have become tameh, or the opposite, he was handling the tameh item. Either way, we say that it's considered a shayla of yesh b'das lishel. Then we ask, that which we said the meat is tameh, but don't we know that all food needs to become mukshal kabel tumah first? Where was the hechsher of the meat? So if you're going to say the blood of the carbon was mashter it, we already got finished saying before, only blood that's spilled freely, like water, is mashter, but blood of carbonus is not mashter. So maybe it became tummy from the water that they used to wash the carbonus with, so that we said before in the name of Rabbi Yisrael, that the mashter based on mitbachai, not only are they tar, but they're not even mashter. Rather, says the Gemara, they became tummy because of chibas HaKadosh, means normally, food needs a hechsher in order to make it chashuv, but kachim, because of chibos hakadosh, because they're intrinsically chashuv, so they don't require a hechsher. Says the Gemara, that svar of chibos hakadosh only works that they should become tamei themselves. But who says that you're able, that they're so tamei to be able to pass on the tumah, like our Mishnah says, that the meat of this carbon is tamei, which is mashma, that not only that it's possible that it itself becomes tamei, but it could even convey its tumah. So if that's the case, we should have a riot to Reish Lakish and Shiloh, because Reish Lakish had a Shiloh, the dry flour of a mincha that never touched the oil, so it's only tummy because of Chibas HaKadosh, it never had a Heksher. Is it so tummy that it could pass on its tumma to counter Reish and Vesheni, or no, maybe it's only possible, but it can't pass it on, so from here, why don't we have a riot that it could pass it on? So says the Gemara, no, the Heksher wasn't Chibas HaKadosh, rather, the Heksher was, we're talking about a cow. Was a carbon shlomim where the bialim keep the leather. Therefore, since the bialim could keep the leather, they wanted the skin better. So on the way to Yerushalayim, they passed it through a river in order that the skin should become wet. And that liquid was still on it at the time of the shechita. So at that point in time, it's machsherit. Then the brisa continued that if the needle was found in the parish in the excrement, then everything's tar. Why? Let the excrement become tummy from the needle, and let that in turn be metame the meat. So the Gemara gives two truths. I mean, either we're talking about because it's thick, and therefore it's a solid, it's no longer considered a maskus, so it can't be metamic, and it's not an oichel either, to be metamic because it's an oichel. Rabbi Ashi says, even if it was liquidy, nonetheless, it's like we said before, it's a maskus saruach, it's spoiled, it's smelly, and therefore it's not considered a maskus to be metamic. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa that was said over in the name in front of Rabbi Sheshes, that a sheretz can be metame liquid, which in turn can be metame keli, which in turn can be metame food, which in turn can be metame liquid. Then the brisa continues that we see from here there's three steps of tumah from a sheretz. So the Gemara asks an obvious contradiction. We mentioned four things, and then you tell me that there's only three steps of tumah. So says the Gemara, must be you have to take out the original liquid. Says the Gemara, how do you know to take out the original liquid? Maybe take out the liquid at the end and say that a sheretz is metame the liquid, which is metame keli, which is metame noichel. So the Gemara says, no, it's mistabe to take out the liquid in the beginning, because the only tana that we found that a liquid is metame keli is Rabbi Yehuda, which we already said earlier, retracted. So if you have to take out anything, it's mistabe to take out the liquid in the beginning. And the simon is like the way you make beer. You first have the kli, then you put in the hops, the solid, and then you put in the water, the liquid. So to over here, the sheretz is metame the kli, which is metame the oichel, which is metame the mashke. Then we quote another Mishnah. It says if you find sheretz in an oven in those days was a kli cheres, which is metame from its airspace. So the bread that's in the oven is a sheni, because the oven itself is a rishon. So the sheretz is metame the oven to be a rishon, which is metame in turn the bread to be a sheni. So the Gemara asks, why is that so? If the kli cheres is metame from its airspace, so doesn't that tell us that it's like the tumah is filling up the entire airspace of the kli cheres, and it's as if the sheretz directly touched the bread, so the bread should be a rishon. So on that, we quote a brisa that we don't say this far, that it's like the airspace is full of tumah. Why? Because the brisa darshins that you might think that a kli cheres could be metama other kelim, talmud loimar, it says, the psukim that we quoted before, that anything that's inside the kli cheres is tameh, mikolo oichol asher yochol v'chol mashka asher yishosa, which is mashka that the kli cheres is only metame oichlim, it's not metame kelim. Now, why not? Because the keli cannot become tameh from a rishon. But if you're going to say that it's like it's filled with tumah, let it come directly from a sheretz, it must be that you don't say that. Then Reb Chista asked the stira from one case of Erev Pesach to another case of Erev Pesach. Because did Rabbi Yeshua say that you could burn together Tumah Temeah with Tumah Tahira? Or at least Tluya with Temeah? Didn't Rabbi Yossi say the mission we quoted before, that he wanted to say that you can't learn from Rabbi Chanina Sgan Kahanim and Rabbi Kiva? So on that he said, I would agree to you that you could burn together the truma that has a lighter tumah with truma that has a more chamadika tumah, but truma tuluya with tumah you can't do, because Shem Eliyahu Eliyahu, maybe Eliyahu will come and say it's tar. So we see that even tuluya with tumah cannot be burnt. So on that he answered, one is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, the other is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Like we had last week, brisa that says when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, so everything has to be burnt before Shabbos. And at that point in time, the Tanna Kamma says you take all Truma, whether it's Tar, whether it's Tluya, whether it's a Suffolk, or whether it's Tameh, and you burn it all together. Rabbi Yossi says no, each one has to be burnt by itself. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree that the Tar and the Tameh may not be burnt together. Tar and the Suffolk may be burnt together. The Machlokes is the Suffolk and the Tameh. Rabbi Eliezer says they have to be burnt separately, and Rabbi Yeshua says they have to be burnt together. So we see, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to be metame the Truma Tluya, and according to Rabbi Yosi, you may not. Says the Gemara, how can you say that? Our mission is Rabbi Yosi. So how can you say that you could burn the Tluya together with the Tameya? So on that, the Gemara answers, what Rabbi Yosi meant to say is like this. According to me, you can't even do that. But even Rabbi Shimon, who's Mekel, he was only Mekel that you could burn Suffolk Tluya together with Tameya. But to burn Tahira with Tameya, that even he wasn't Mekel. Then the Gemara asked another stira, a stira from Chuma the rest of the year to Chuma on Erev Pesach. Did Rabbi Yeshua say that you could burn Tluya together with Tameya? We quoted before a brisa that says that you have a barrel of Chuma that has a Suffolk Tumah, so Rabbi Eliezer says you have to protect it, you have to put it in a safe place, you have to cover it. Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have to protect it, like we said before, which is mashva, that you could only be Gerim Tumah, but you're not allowed to be Metame B'yadayim, which means you would not be allowed to take it and burn it together with Tameya. So we answer the same terrors. One's the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, who says that all you're allowed to do is be gerim, but you're not allowed to be metam v'yadayim. The other is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says you're even allowed to burn truma tluya with truma tameya. Then we asked a third stira. Did Rabbi Shimon only say, did Rabbi Yeshua only say that you're allowed to be goyim to him, but you're not allowed to be metam b'yadayim? What happened to the other Mishnah we quoted before, a barrel of truma that broke in the upper part of the gas? So if you could save at least the revius of the truma b'tar before it goes down into the bottom, into the reservoir to become tamei from the chulin tameim, everybody agrees you have to do it. If not, so Rabbi Eliezer says, Alpha Bikin, you have to let it go down. And Rabbi Yeshua says, you're allowed to be metama b'yadayim. So we see over here that you're allowed to be metama truma, that's how the ibud b'yadayim. So he answered, like we said before, that's only because of the hefzed chulin, but otherwise you're not allowed to be metama b'yadayim. So on that, the Gemara asks, but burning the truma tahara separately, and the truma tluya separately, and the truma tamei separately is also a hefzed, because you're going to have extra firewood. So the Gemara answers, like we said before, they were only concerned about a hefzed merubah, but not on the hefzed mu'ut. How do you know to differentiate between a hefzed merubah and a hefzed mu'ut? It's because we have another baisa that says if it wasn't a barrel of wine that broke in the gas ol yoyna, rather it was a barrel of oil that broke in the gas ol yoyna, so then Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that if you're able to save a revius b'tara, you're mechuyif to save a revius b'tara, and if not, you have to let it go down and become tamim v'mela, and you can't be metam v'yadayim. Why is that? Because over here it's only a hefsemur, because even after it became tamim and you can't eat it, you could still use it for hadlaka, for kindling, for fuel. So on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, wine also you could use it for zilif, you could use it to spray around as an air freshener because of its fragrance, because of its good aroma. So maybe you'll tell me that ziluf is not considered chashuv. How can you say that? Didn't Shmuel say in the name of Chiyot that if you would pay a selah for an amount of wine to drink, you should pay two sloim for wine to use for ziluf? So we see it's very chashuv. So we answered, because we're talking about over here new wine, so it didn't settle yet enough to build up an aroma to be used for ziluf. So says the Gemara, but you could age it. So the Gemara says, we don't want you to age it, because in the meantime, you might come to takal, you might come to forget that it's tummy and end up eating from there. So, frankly, why are we not afraid of the same kshash by the oil? So the Gemara says, because the oil, you could put it into a disgusting keter, then you won't come to eat from it. What about the wine? The wine, you can't put into a disgusting keter, because if your whole point is to use it for zilov, you don't want to mess it up and give it a foul odor, so therefore, there's no eitza. That which we said were choshed for takal, if you let it sit around, we say it's a machlokes tanoim. Because we have a brisa though that it says if you have a barrel of oil, of truma that became tummy, Beishamah says you have to spill it out right away. Beisol says, which means obviously because he's afraid of takala. Beisol says no, you could do zilof with it. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbeis said I'll be machria if it became tummy in the field where you have to transport it, because you're not going to do zilof there, so you have to transport it to your house. In the meantime, you might eat from it, so then you have to spill it out right away. But if it became tummy in the house where you could use it for zilof right away, then you could use it for zilof. Another way, others say that he was machriya as follows. If it's new wine that has to be aged, so in the meantime we're afraid of takala, so you have to spill it out. But if it's old wine, which doesn't have to be aged, it could be used right away, then you could use it for zilov. Either way, the Chum said back to Rishma Rabesi, your shita is a third opinion, it's not a hachra, because Bishalim Bisil never said a word about bias and sadhu, so they never indicated that there's a makim to differentiate between the two. Then Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Chanina says, the machloikas that we had until now, if you're allowed to be metame the truma that's in the gas del yoyna, in order to protect the chulin that's in the lower part of the gas, that's only true if you have less than 100 times in the lower part of the gas, so when the truma falls in, it will not be batal, and then the whole mixture will become aser. But if you have 100 times the amount, so since it will become batal, and you won't have a hesed to the chulin, everybody agrees that you have to let it go down and become tamim memeil, you're not allowed to be metame b'yadayim. The Gemara brings a brisa that says the same thing, but the lashon of the brisa is that Rabbi Eliezer is ma'ida to Rabbi Yeshua, and that bothers the Gemara because Rabbi Eliezer was always the one who said you can't be metame. If anything, we should say the opposite. Rabbi Yeshua, who normally says you could be metame, over here agrees that you cannot be metame. So the Rava answers and the Hanami switch it around that Rabbi Yeshua is ma'ida to Rabbi Eliezer. On that, the Gemara says a second there, it's no, you don't have to switch it around, and the ma'ida was not talking about the seifa where you're not allowed to be metame, but rather the ratio that if you could say the betahara, everybody agrees you have to save it with tahara, and the case is that you're saving it with, like we discussed before, keli, that the inside is tahar, but the backside is tameh. So you might have thought that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you're not allowed to metame truma b'yadayim, so maybe you shouldn't use such a keli, because even though you're saving what you catch on the inside, at the same time it's coming at the expense of being metame b'yadayim, the truma that would hit the back of the keli. Kamash malon, in such a case, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you're supposed to save it with tahara. Then the next parah continues. As long as you're allowed to eat chametz, then you're allowed to have hanaf from the chametz and feed it to your animals, whether it's a behemah, a domesticated animal, or a chaya, or a wild animal, or a knife, or a bird. You could sell it to a guy, and it's mutter and all other types of hanaf. Once this mana iser passes, so then you cannot have hanaf from it, and you cannot use it for fuel to heat up an oven. Rav Yehuda says the only way to be mekayim beer chametz is through burning it. The chum say no, you could crumb it up and throw it, scatter it into the wind, or throw it into a sea as well. So Gemara said, from the fact that the Mishnah says as long as you can eat chametz, you can have anah, that implies once you cannot eat chametz any longer, you're not allowed to have anah from it. So that means our Mishnah cannot be the opinion of Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda says you could eat chametz only through the end of the fourth hour, and in the fifth hour, it's toilin, you cannot eat it, but you don't yet have to burn it, because it's mutter b'anah. So you see that even after it's aser b'achila, it's still mutter b'anah. So it says the Gemara, if that's the case, maybe you want to say that the Mishnah is Rav Meir, who says now chametz may be in through the fifth hour. So hana and achila have the same zman through the end of the fifth hour. But the Gemara is bothered. If that's the case, why does it say kol zman shemutter lecho macho? As long as it's mutter to eat, that's an extra word mutter. It should say as long as you eat, you could feed, you could have hana. So rather, the Gemara says that it's a third opinion. It's the opinion of Rav Gamliel, who says that chulin could only be eaten like Rav Yehuda through the end of the fourth hour. Truma could be eaten through the fifth hour. And this is what the Mishnah means to say. As long as it's mutter for someone to eat something, that the Kohen could eat truma, so the Yisrael could, even his chulin, which is also to be eaten, may still have enough from it. Then the Gemara wants to know, why do we have to mention separately both behema and chaya? So the Gemara says, had we only said behema, I would think because it's not the derech of a behema to hide its food, it eats it in the open. So if it would leave anything open, over, you would see it and you would get rid of it. But a chayah maybe will have to be afraid, maybe you shouldn't feed it to him because he's going to hide it, and then you'll run into problems. Kamashul, no, we're not choshed. And opposite, if we would only say chayah, I would think because if the chayah hides it, it was going to be hidden well, and therefore it won't be found by you, and it's not going to be by your rabbi yamatsi. But a behema, maybe you'll leave it over, and it's going to be left over in the open, but you might forget to destroy it. So maybe, and you run into Bayer Mazda, so maybe you shouldn't give it to him. Kamash Vodan, then we're not Choshet. Why does it say Oifis? So it says the Gemara, Anachanami, it's not a Chiddush, but once you say Behem Menchayo, so it's the Derech to say Oif as well. That which the Mishnah said you could sell it to a Goy, what's the Chiddush of that? So the Gemara says, because there's a Tana that says, according to Beishama, you're not allowed to sell Chametz to a Goy before Pesach, unless you know for sure he's going to finish it before Pesach, because it's not enough to get it out of your possession. You have to make sure that it's destroyed before Pesach. Beishama disagrees. He says, as long as you're allowed to eat Chametz, so you're allowed to have an oven in the Chametz, you're allowed to sell to the Goy, and you don't care what the Goy does with it. Review that continues, if you have this kutach, this dip that was a dairy dip, so since it has crumbs in it and it takes a long time to eat, you cannot sell it within 30 days of Pesach because it's not going to be done before Pesach, because he holds like Beishama, and then that's a problem. More than 30 days, you don't have to be concerned with the laws of beer chometz, so you could sell it to a guy even though it's not going to be finished before Pesach. That which we said mutter b'anah, what's the chiddush? Obviously, we just said examples of anah. So the Gemara says that's coming to teach us Rav's halacha, that once you burnt the chametz to the point that it singed before the zman iser, so even after the zman iser, you're already allowed to have anah from it because it doesn't become aser. Then the Mishnah continued over zman, once the time passed, it's also to have anah. And the Gemara says the chiddush of that is even at a time that's only also, the zman is the derabbanon, it's already also banal. Like we said in the first parak, if someone takes chametz in the sixth hour, even if it's hard chametz like the wheat that grows in the Hari Ararat, nonetheless, if they became wet, it's chametz. And if he's makalish or isha with those wheats, the kedushin is not valid because even once it's also midrabbanon, it's also banal and it's worthless. Then the Mishnah continued that you can't use it for fuel for an oven. Obviously not, it's also b'ana. So the Gemara says, even according to Rav Yehuda, that ain't beer chametz el sreifa. So maybe while you're burning it, you're doing what you're supposed to do with it. You're getting rid of it. So maybe as you're burning it, derech agav, you can have anah from it. Kamashalon, even as you're burning it, you can't have anah. Then the Gemara brings a statement of a member of Chizkiah. How do you know b'chlal that chametz is asur b'anah on Pesach? Because it says lo yei ochel chametz. It doesn't say lo yeichel chametz, rather yei ochel. From the fact that the Torah writes it in this interesting way, it means to say you can't do anything with the chametz that could bring to achila. Normally, if you have anah, that means it's worth money, you'll gain money, and the extra money you'll use to purchase food. So any hanah that brings to achila is also with chametz. So the Gemara's medayik, the only reason why you know it's also b'anah is because it says yei ochel. But otherwise, you would assume that it's mutter b'anah. That means Chizkiya disagrees with Rav Avohu, because Rav Avohu says that the default is wherever the Torah gives an Isra Achila, whether it says Lo Yoicha, Lo Yisoicha, Lo Yisoichu, any expression of Isra Achila, you assume that it's also Banah, unless the Torah goes out of its way to say that it's Mutter Bahana, the same way that it did it by Nevela, that it says in the Pasuk Lo Yisoichu called Nevela, La Ger Ashiv Yishrecha Tinan Vachala, rather you could sell it to a Ger, give it to a Ger, or Makar Benachi, or sell it to a Goy. So the Gemara quotes a Brisa, the Brisa says, I would only think that it's mutter to give it as a matana to a ger and sell it to a guy. How do you know that you're allowed to sell it to a ger taishiv? So the Gemara says, because you read that middle of the pasuk by changing the punctuation by saying tinena la ger ashev yisharecha tinena oy mocher, and the entire middle is going back in the beginning of the pasuk. So the same thing. How do you know that it's mutter to give it as a matana to a guy? So the same thing, you'll take the middle of the pasuk and read it the other way around, and read it nachri. So it comes out at the end of the day, according to a mayor, that it's mutter both to a ger and to a goy to either sell it or give it as a matana. Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says that you have to learn the pasuk literally. To a ger, it's mutter ger taishav, it's mutter dafka to give it, and to a goy, it's mutter to dafka sell it, and not vice versa. Gemara says, what's the svar of Rav Yehuda? Because if you want to say that Rav Meir, the Torah should have said, u'machar l'nachri. Why does it say, oy machar l'nachri? That extra word, oy, is like a stop in the middle of the pasuk to say that the nesin is only going back on ger, and the mechir is only going forward on goy. Rav Meir will answer back that the oy is to give precedence, that if you have a choice to either give it to a ger or a goy, the ger, taishav, takes precedence over the goy. Rav Yehuda says, you don't need a pasuk for that, because it's a svara. Since you're mechuyev to support a ger taishav, so obviously he takes precedence over a guy which you're not mechuyev to support. So what is this ayah doing? To tell us the Dvarim Kichsavim. Going back to Rav Avohu, so the Gemara explains, so according to a mayor, that at the end of the day, everything's mutter, so why does the Torah have to tell us it's mutter? Obviously, why should you think otherwise? It must be it's coming to tell us Rav Avohu's din. The only reason why it's mutter is because the Torah said it's mutter bana, but otherwise you would say Yisuri Achila are the default is that they're also bana. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the pasuk is not extra because you need the pasuk to tell us Dvarim Kichsavim. Dafka, give it to a ger, and dafka, sell it to a guy. Therefore, the pasuk is not extra. So, according to him, as of yet, we don't have a source to say Rabbi Avohu is din that Minastam, had the Torah not told us otherwise, it would be aser bana, because over here it's not extra. And tomorrow next week we'll continue, Mirzah Shem, what the source of Rav Avohu is according to Rabbi Yehuda.